The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
This is Jonathan Healy filling in for Pat Kenny on this Monday morning. Sunny Monday morning here in Cork, hopefully sunny where you are as well. Let's talk to our aviation expert, Kevin Byrne. Hiya, Kevin.
Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm good. Lovely to talk to you. We were talking with Paul Canila about Heathrow earlier on and
yes.
the disruption that it caused. And there's a bit of a blame game going on, isn't there?
I'm afraid so. I have a soft spot for this airport, even though I haven't been through it since November. But I, as a student...
It's an awful kip. Oh, God.
Well, it's not as neat and tidy as some of the well-designed airports that have come along later. But as a student about 30 years ago, I actually had put a third runway into it there an excursion, you know. But it hasn't been built yet, so I'm always fond of following what goes on there. But the blaming game has started. The chief executive of National Grid, which supplies electricity all over the UK, has blamed the airport for cutting off two other supply lines which would have provided full services to the airport. But you know, this is how it starts, because it's going to be an inquiry taking 6 weeks and we will find out what went wrong. But shutting it down is a big deal, as you know, and it's still going to go on. There's going to be problems for 3 or 4 days more, despite the fact that they're fully running at the normal way. There are people left all over the place, aircraft in the wrong place at the wrong time. So it is unusual. Rare beast, but it did affect the country in a big way.
But when you look at other airports, Dublin Airport must have been looking at this going,
yes,
we're there before the grace of God go
yes.
we. Same with Charles de Gaulle. My initial suspicion was this made, because there have been mysterious fires at shopping centres in
That's
Poland
right, yes.
that have been blamed on the Russians. I was kind of half thinking, could this have been a Russian operation?
Highly unlikely, because there's usually a claim, if you know this kind of thing. I had a discussion yesterday with an engineer and he said that I know that the cooling oil used in these places, 23,000 litres of this stuff caught fire, and when it catches fire, it's quite hard to ignite. When it does catch fire, though, in a big blast, it's extremely hard to put down. So the damage was much worse than it would have been had one unit gone off, you know. So it was a major fire. But again, there's complaints made that a lot of infrastructure in the UK is not being maintained to the standard, and the current government is blaming the last government because it was there for so long. But that's how things work.
Indeed it is. We've had a lot of safety incidents in 2025, so next year's IATA annual safety report will definitely make for interesting reading. But last year, again, it goes to show how safe aviation actually is.
It is. Now, this is the International Air Transport Association. That's the kind of umbrella group for airlines. It's not to be confused with ICAO, the International Civil Aviation Organization, whose UN report is not out yet. But the sectors, they go back over 5 rolling years, and that's the way to do it, because 1 year can be perfectly safe and a second year might not be so good. So they roll back over 5 years and they have a steady decline over the past 2 decades, to the extent that there were 3.72 accidents per million sectors, that's flights, in 2005, 20 years ago. We're down now to 1.13 accidents per million sectors. So it's getting better and better and better. Even though, would you believe, I was looking at the accidents for 2024, as you might expect, and 5 of them had videos. So you see the video and it's online in some cases within 15 minutes, and that's true into 2025. And once you see that, it, of course, it alarms people when it really shouldn't. You know, going from January, February, March, all that, 5 of the accidents were shown in video. One of them was actually a shoot down, the last one we looked at in December, when there was a Neo J190 accident which crash landed in Kazakhstan. The video shows that, and it was a tragic because it was hit by a missile. There's no two ways about it.
And the other thing about this, and being a little bit of an aviation nerd as I am,
right.
Flight Radar 24, which
yes.
is publicly available, sitting on my phone in front of me.
Indeed.
Here, I can track any aircraft. And if an aircraft finds itself in a bit of tribloid,
yes.
you can download all sorts of telemetry from it that'll give you an insight into what was happening in its final few moments.
That's true. And as I said, you might remember, we reflected recently on the Washington DC air accident where the helicopter crashed into the aircraft landing at the airport there, you know. And there's an interim report out now on the 29th of January, just a while ago. And there is conflicting information. One helicopter pilot, the chief warrant officer, was training a captain, a female captain as it turns out, not that it matters. One helicopter pilot thought they were at 400 feet and the other said they were at 300 feet, so there was discrepancy between the two instruments. They really should have been at 200 feet because that's what's the published list for that particular route, which has since been banned, by the way. And when they read back the cockpit voice recorder of the helicopter, it wasn't clear that they got the instructions to go behind, even though the air accident investigators were able to prove it was transmitted. But it's likely that the captain was transmitting to make a statement statement to air traffic control and cut out that particular part of the reception. So they didn't get the instructions from the air traffic
which
control.
Which is, and that is one of the oldest problems in aviation.
Indeed,
because the worst aviation accident in history, which happened in Tenerife,
yes,
where two 747s crashed in the 70s, was exactly the same thing.
And they put in stuff to try and stop that so you can't transmit, but it still does happen from time to time. So part of the message was got through, but not the full message. And that had its own consequences like that. But the point I want to make about the president, the commander-in-chief, made a comment about diversity in the US Army flying school and that kind of thing. I thought that was most inappropriate because the air accident investigations under Annex 13 of ICAO are supposed to, you know, find out what went wrong and put in place ameliorations that won't happen again like that. Not to make comments about any of the pilots flying or anybody making other errors in that regard. It's a very complex thing to do and it shouldn't be made in public like that. I thought it was most unhelpful and regrettable.
Of the accidents listed in 2024, there's one standout for me, which happened in January, which was the collision between the Airbus A350 and the Japanese Coast Guard plane. And it wasn't because of the accident, which did result in the loss of life.
It was
more what happened after the accident that allowed all those people on board the passenger jet to walk away.
Indeed. In fact, that's an interesting one. The first accident of the year in January in Japan, Japanese Coast Guard, a CAS aircraft, as it turned out, went onto the runway, went across where it shouldn't have and clipped the wing of an Airbus 350-900 with a full load of people on board, causing a major fire. The five people on the Coast Guard aircraft were killed, but they managed to stop the Airbus A390 on the runway and they deployed the chutes and everybody got off uninjured, which is an extraordinary thing to do considering the aircraft was on fire. But they've got a different attitude to commands and control. If you looked at the crash, which was this year, I think, in Toronto, where the aircraft's wing broke off like that, there was video from inside of the aircraft and there's a picture of a guy getting out the back escape hatch near the engines. Aircraft fire is still burning. He's towing his trolley bag onto the aircraft into snow, you know, when everybody else is and somebody else stands up and videos them. They don't help, you know. It's a very strange attitude to life, but they agree with command and control in Japan. Not so good in the Western world, I suspect.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm always fascinated by that. I mean, how important is your spare pair of underpants to bring with you off a burning aircraft that you'd bring your bag with you? It does depend on where you're flying, though, for the accident rate, because there are certain parts of the world where, but for various reasons, it's not as safe.
No, and of course, unfortunately, a place I know well is Africa. It has the highest accident rate in 2024 as it had in 2023, although it's gone down. It's gone up, actually, so I'm not too happy with that. 9.54 accidents per million sectors in 24, an increase from 8.36 the year before. However, did you know that only 4% of the people of Africa actually go flying regularly? It is a tiny, tiny sector of the population there. And unfortunately, on the way in here, I was reading of the various civil wars and the very disturbances they have in various countries in different parts of Africa. There are parts where there's a burgeoning, you know, middle class like that. But until the parts of the middle of Africa settle down, unfortunately, it's not going to get much above 4 or 5 or 6% in the next couple of years. So it's not a very safe place, unfortunately, for ordinary passengers. Some of that, by the way, and this is a bit of a shock, I didn't realise it until yesterday. You know, there's supposed to be an investigation of an air accident within 12 months, a final report, and within 30 days, which is why I got the one from Washington, there's an interim report like that. But of all the 269 accidents between 2018 and 2023, only 57% had final reports published, which I find completely unacceptable. And not much has been done about it. I assumed it was up to 90-92%, as we do in Europe, and Ireland does a very good job on it, the UK does a good job, and even the USA do a good job on accidents. But there are parts where it's casual, you just sort of bury the bodies and scrap the aircraft.
Yeah, you just,
nothing happens,
kind
of thing.
It's unusual. What are the main causes of something going wrong? I mean, everybody likes to blame the pilot because they're the people sitting at the front of the bus. But
now,
it's not always the pilot's fault.
No, when I was studying this and lecturing on it, 75% of the accidents had a contributing factor from a human input of some shape or form like that. Now, I was just reading over the last the last rolling 5 years, manual handling and flight control errors was a contributing factor in 39% of the 2024 accidents from that point of view. Another one, just a bit less than that, non-compliance to standard operating procedures was cited in 35% of the accidents, you know, and that's a serious failing. SOPs are there for a purpose. And time and again, if you watch TV programmes, failure to comply them means there's a chance you're going to have an accident. Not, you know, deliberately, but if you leave out some part of it, you might forget to do something. The other one is 37%, roughly the same. Crew response and situational awareness was a contributing factor. In other words, people thought they were doing different things or they were somewhere where they weren't, that kind of thing. In 22%, which is not too bad, aircraft malfunction was a contributing factor. Something went wrong, something fell off, something didn't work properly like that. And the same figure applies to adverse weather. And you can have, you know, multiples of that. So the figure is going to be more than 100% when you start doing these kind of things. A quarter of them were an unstable approach. Landing an aircraft is probably one of the most difficult things they do, depending on the conditions of the weather and the airport situation and all that kind of thing. But an unstable approach should be an indicator to the pilots that they should go around. But people don't like to do it because, one, they lose face in some cases, and two, it costs money to do that. But much better to do that than, you know, bash the aircraft in the wrong way or slide off the runway or whatever. And we've seen that time and again. Unstable approach should be a go around, and that's what you're taught very early on.
Now, Kevin, I'm conscious that there will be somebody sitting in the back of a taxi going to Dublin Airport sweating profusely listening to the radio. What do you want to say to reassure them?
I have the last point I want to make is a very good point. In fact, it pleased me on the way in here. There's one accident for every 881,541 flights. In other words, this means on average, you'd have to fly for 10,000 years to be killed yourself on a flight. So that's quite a statistic. But more than that, and this surprised me, if you want to kill everybody on the flight that you're on, you've got to fly every day, once per day on a jet, for 49,246 years before you can be sure that all the people on that aircraft are killed. That's one heck of a statistic in human terms.
That's incredible. It is the safest mode of transport. I mean, to the person in the taxi, I don't want to make it worse, but it's more likely the taxi is going to crash than the plane.
Absolutely. This is one of the safest things humans do. Much better than working in a nuclear power station or parachuting for a sport or that kind of thing. It's remarkably safe, and it's going to continue to be safe no matter what part of the world you're in.
And you'll have a lovely cold glass of beer when you get to Spain and it'll be fine.
Kevin
Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel and airport safety and security expert. Kevin, an absolute pleasure as always. Thank you very much for joining.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.